case number 11443, Robert W. and Janet Hall, trustee, southeast of Business Route 9, Savannah Road, and being northwest of 2nd Street and southeast of 1st Street and northeast of Crestview Avenue. 911 address is not available. Tax map ID number 335-12.06, parcel 21.00 and parcel 23.00. A variance from the side yard, rear yard setback requirement, and a variance from the minimum square footage for a parcel.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, I'm passing some information down.
Thank you.
Mr. Willard, if you're going to have your client's testimony testify, we will need them to be sworn in.
Would you like that now or
yes.
When I'm done? Mr. Hall, can you come up here? They're just going to swear in, sure. In your testimony. We're not going to talk right now in a little bit.
There we go.
Okay. Would you give us your name and address, please?
Robert W.
Thank you. Do you swear or affirm that the information you're about to give is going to be true? Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Tim Willard with Fuqua Urey & Willard, representing the Robert Hall Trust that owns this property. This is Robert Hall. This is Janet Hall. They hail from Lewis. They've been married about 52 years. They live in Fenwick now. But they grew up in the Lewis area. This is a application for variance, area variance to partition two lots. The property is located, and I see you've been handed out this booklet that I submitted last week. I don't imagine you've studied it at this point, but it should be helpful as I go through. What we intend to show you is that these partitions, as well as a couple minor setback variances, meet your statutory requirement, five statutory requirements. Just to summarize those, this property is located just outside of Lewis. If you're driving in Savannah Road, before you hit the railroad tracks, before you hit the high school, off on the right-hand side is a road called Woodland Avenue, and it's a little enclave of a neighborhood that's been there for years. In fact, it predated the code, which is one reason we believe it's unique. The lots in there are unique in size as well. The two lots that are subject to the partition, one's only 70 feet wide, and one is 80 feet wide. We also think that I'll give you some supporting evidence in here, but just mention it right now, that the development really wouldn't be possible without the variance we're asking for. For one practical reason, there are a couple non-conforming uses on there that where there's a shed and other things that we're going to take down if you partition it. But more importantly, the nature of the neighborhood are these smaller lots with these smaller ranch houses. Quite frankly, it's a modester neighborhood. And as I was actually before the presentation tonight talking to one of the neighbors, to develop one of the larger lots consistent with the larger lot development in this neighborhood would be inconsistent and really not reasonable and not possible to sell or rent in that capacity. As far as the effect on surrounding properties, the Halls intend to actually sell the property. And there's a gentleman here who's got a partnership who's from Lewis, and they intend to purchase it if they get this partition. And in the two partitioned lots, to put up nice stick-built homes, which would be an improvement for the otherwise vacant lots to have new homes in there. And as I will point out, this board in 2004 granted an identical partition, and in 2009 it granted an identical partition for that reason, I think. And the extent of the variance, we believe, is minimum to the extent we're just dividing them. We're not to cut out of one size lot. We're not trying to make one exceptionally small. We're cutting them right in half, so we believe it is a minimum. So for you, I've submitted this little booklet, and the first page is just a summary of the application, which I've pretty much summarized in my opening presentations. The second page to that indicates the variances that required. It looks a little more tedious than it really has to be. The two area variances, if I can refer you now to tab 4, which is the survey, tab 4. That's what we're asking for. If you put that horizontally up, you can see the lot on the left-hand side, which is lot 21, We're asking that it be partitioned, cut in half. You all see that? And that's 14,000 feet, so we're asking for 2 7,000-square-foot lots. Now, you'll see that the notations on the side, those notations were made by your office or a clerk. I thought it might have been Lawrence. It wasn't Lawrence. And when they went through this and the application was filed, they said, this is what you're needed. My client was just asking for the two partitions, and they were very thorough. So I've included this very one, and I've kept the numbers consistent so I can address them. And if you just follow me along there, number one on the left-hand side, when the survey was done, you can see that the building that already exists on the house, which we're not asking for any partitions, the middle building there is 9.9 feet, so we're asking for a 0.1-foot variance there, set back. Mm-hmm. For number two, where they're saying there's an existing accessory building on that first corner lot, the shed that's there, mm-hmm. We've submitted to you that will be torn down if the partition is granted, so it will no longer be needed. Number three on there, I believe where they're saying they need a 0.1-foot variance from the required 5-foot variance setback for a shed. That shed likewise will be torn down. So those two setbacks are not even necessary. Now, if you see with the first notation for number four, for the area variance for that partition, they're saying you need a 25,000. It looks like whoever took this in determined that these were non-septic, or that the septics were on site there, in which case you need a 32,000-square-foot lot. That's not the case. There is sewer there, and the sewer, as built, will have connections to each one of these partitioned lots. And I've included in tab 7 the as-built drawing of the sewer, which shows laterals to the properties already on First Street. And when I was talking to, I think it was Chris Callio upstairs, he indicated that there would be connections to the partitioned lots. One's a Y, and one might have to be made. So, in fact, the lot should be 20,000, and the variance we're asking for is not for 25,000, it's just for 13 on this one, because it'd be 7,000.
Right.
I talked to Mr. Lank about that, so that's just a correction on there.
Mr. Willard, before you go any further, just for the board's sake and clarification, you are AR1, you're undersized lots, so that means the sides are 10 foot, not 15.
Correct.
And that's the reason you're looking for this type of variance on those sides. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So, in other words, you're really looking at MR setbacks here for these.
Yeah, and that was, to the extent the middle lot is really not part of the application originally for the partitions. We wanted to clean up the whole lot, so we're asking for
right.
that.
Right. Okay. I see what you're doing. Yeah.
And then just to clean it up. But on the lots. The bottom middle lot, which has already been partitioned, in fact, you did that in 1978, that dwelling and that shed would be removed, so there are no setback issues.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Okay.
So and I've indicated that in my submission to you. I thought it'd be easier to do it as I look at the survey.
Sure. Yeah.
So that handles the lot on the left side, just partitioned. There are no setback requirements on those partition lots. On the lot on the right-hand side, which is lot 23, they're asking likewise that it be partitioned. That's 16,000 square feet, so there's less of a variance asked there because there'd be two individual lots of 8,000. And there's only one setback variance needed for that, and that's on the lot in the top right-hand corner where it's 19.8 feet from the porch, and I believe just a 0.2-foot variance is needed for that rear setback for that lot. Which, if it would be partitioned, that would be, it's described as lot C.
Okay.
So that's what the application is asking you to do. It sounds a little more complicated than it is, because we're just, I'm sorry, Mr. Rick.
Yes, it is. It's good. You've explained it well.
Well, thank you. On two, sort of done what I learned to do from Mr. Fuqua, just sort of highlight what's going on around there. And I think yours should be highlighted, too. Mm-hmm. And I think it goes to the uniqueness and the fact that it's not detrimentally going to affect other areas. This whole subdivision is pretty old. And as you can see, all these lots are smaller, and they'd be similar to the lots that you'd be creating. And if you look at the lot in the middle, the ones in pink, they have already been partitioned by you. The one in the middle of the two lots we're asking was in 1978. The one up here in the right-hand corner was in 2004, and the one here in 2009. So they were fairly recent. And in tab 8, you'll have your decisions on those. So the 2009 one, the board determined that the application would not alter the essential character of the neighborhood and that the situation was somewhat unique. And that's for the lot right across the street. In 2004, the board found that the variances would not alter the essential character of the neighborhood since there are numerous undersized lots. And then I've also included in that tab when Mr. Hall actually got his lot subdivided in the middle, and there was some question whether that had already been done by deed in 1958 because we did a search on that. I've included a couple area photographs, which helps you identify some of the houses. The parcels are identified, and it's just not much sophistication here. It's a Google Earth, but you can see some of the footprints of the houses, which are fairly modest, which would be consistent with what they're proposing. In addition, I've gone through the survey rather completely. The partners that are intend to buy the property, and there is a contract, one is actually a pretty established builder contractor in the area. My friend, Rent Ruggiero, who lives in Lewis, is one of the partners, and there's somebody else that is local. And they've identified four versions of homes that have fairly modest front yard widths, like this one in particular would probably go in the bottom left because it's a narrower that they would be committed to, and I know you don't approve that here, but that's what their intention is. And they're not pulling building permits, but I've included some designs here. And we actually, before meeting here today, met with a couple neighbors you may hear from to try to show them what we're trying to do in the neighborhood. There's an envelope in tab 9 showing pictures of the houses in on the lot. I've also included the fact that there's right at the intersection of Woodlawn and Savannah, there are two commercial projects. The one that the Brockstedt firm is building a larger complex there, and there's a doctor's office right around the street. And I mentioned this as far as the element of detrimentally affecting the neighborhood. I think both Lewis and the county seem to have an element of their comp plans and their land use planning, which is trying to at least facilitate some reasonable, modest housing. And in this case, the neighborhood already exists there, so we believe this project would both be an improvement but also do that. Because Lewis, in some ways, when you get in down too deep, some of the houses get too affordable, I think. So you have the site plan of the as-built sewer. You have what's already been approved just in 2009, 2004, 2000, or 1978. And then I've proposed findings of facts, which summarize, I think, what I've said here today. And I've also included the elements which you must find to approve this partition and the three setbacks. That is, we believe the property is unique because of its age and that the lots were smaller. What also is somewhat unique about them is they're roads on either side, First and Second Street, so they have frontage already that exists. and they're narrow. The neighborhood also is unique to the extent it has a large majority of smaller lots that you've already found that. 2004. Developing the lots in the new dimensions, building new homes on the existing lots would not be consistent with the area as it exists now. It'd be difficult to design, rent, or sell. So the possibility to the extent that doing any development would need the variance as far as removing some of the sheds and things like that. Mm-hmm. The effect on surrounding areas, we believe, will be an improvement, as the previous gentleman had driven home, truly because adding nicer, newer homes in those lots and improving the frontage could help the neighboring properties, I think, property values, and also the appeal to the neighborhood. And the extent, as we said, is minimum to the extent we're just cutting them in half, not creating super small lots. So, Mr. Hall, can you come up here for a sec? I talk kind of fast, but if you heard what I said, do you think what my representations to the board were true and correct?
As far as I know, or that I'm aware of, yes.
And I don't know if you gentlemen have any questions for me or Mr. Hall.
I was just going to clarify just one thing. On Lot A, you say that shed's coming off there. We won't need the special use exception?
That's correct.
Okay. So that lot will be vacant?
Yeah, I meant to say special use. That's going to be cleaned up and taken off.
Okay, so you won't be looking. We're looking at variances now, not special use.
There'll be no special use.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Excuse me. Are there any further questions from members of the board? Mr. Hudson?
No.
Yes. Nothing's changing on lot 22 or 2201. Is that correct?
That is correct, except that the dwelling on 2201 and the shed, it's planned to be removed if this project goes forward.
Okay, but it's already subdivided?
Correct.
Okay, so the variances aren't necessary, they're not conforming?
Yeah, for your purposes, nothing would change.
Okay.
And I guess it was mentioned, I think, because the one shed in the rear, it looked like might need a variance, but we're going to take it down anyway.
Yeah.
But the plan is, if you do that, because that house is rather, for various issues, we want to improve it if we get this.
Okay.
There's a picture of that house in the photographs, too.
So considering that's non-conforming already there, and, you know, it's already subdivided and doesn't need a variance or what have you, that just basically leaves lot 21 and 23.
That's correct.
And the reason you need a variance on 21 and 23 is because you already have a lot that's less than the 20,000 square feet that's required, and you want to make it even less than that. How's that not created by the applicant?
Well, the narrowness of the lot and the fact that the lot next door has already been partitioned wasn't done by the applicant. I mean, it was originally designed, the narrowness of the lots, and the rest of the neighborhood, quite frankly, wasn't created by the applicant.
Okay, but it appears the rest of the neighborhood, with exception of a couple of lots, all are 200-foot lots. At least across the street and elsewhere. Okay.
Well, the ones on First, they're 100 by 200. That's correct, but they're narrow as well. The other ones that I've mentioned that have already been subdivided, and then the ones all along Crestview, although they have wider frontage, their depth is only 7. They're all just relatively small.
Okay. All right. No other questions. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Workman?
No questions.
Again, Mr. Rickards.
Most of those lots are, from what I can see here, are 80-foot frontages. They're under the 10,000 square feet, right? Most of those lots that are in there?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's the reason you need the adjustments on the 8,007. Okay. All right, that settles my question.
No further questions? Okay. Are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? Anyone here in opposition to this application? Chair, hearing none. You're in opposition, sir? Well, you need to come up and be sworn in, sir, if you would like to speak, please, so we can have it on record. Thank you. Yeah, well, he just wanted to ask that question. You need to be sworn in, sir, then we can.
Can you give us your name and address, please?
Doug McLaughlin, 204 First Street.
Do you swear or affirm that any of the information you give this board will be true?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. You want to go to the podium?
All right, so, sir, you're not against it, or you're not in favor. You just have a question.
I have the corner property, and I actually, as I went through the materials and listened to the discussion, and I've talked to many of the other neighbors in the neighborhood, we don't have an objection to seeing those lots subdivided, nor do we have any objection to the building of single-family homes on those lots.
Okay.
There's just a little confusion as I try to translate some of the regulations regarding the request for relief on the setbacks. So as I understood tonight, that the application is requesting relief on side yard and rear yard setbacks because they already exist or there's some problems with the existing dwellings. But we're not clear as to whether the application is asking for relief for the new homes that will be built there and whether those new homes require
further variances,
the side yard and rear yard setbacks to be adjusted. So currently those are 10 and 15 in the rear, And is it your understanding from tonight, because I'm a little confused about that, is the application asking for relief on the new homes that will be built there?
Well, I'll get that question answered for you, sir.
Well, just so you know, that the setbacks are 30 in the front, 10 on the sides, and 20 in the rear.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, that help you?
Yes.
And the only setback that is necessary for for their request is on lot number 23 in the rear for an existing home that is now 19.8 feet from the rear property line, and if they subdivide it, will require a 0.2-foot variance.
Yeah, we feel that even with the subdividing the 80 by 200 into two parcels, 80 by 100, that that's a sufficient amount of space to build a really nice 1,600-square-foot home. And that's a single-story home, so if it was a Cape Cod, it would be a substantial house. Mm-hmm. There are some issues that may not be the purview of this particular board with the in relation to the existing roads.
Right.
So
yeah.
These roads are not improved, and they're not up to the county standards.
That's
nor
not
is there any.
We can't help you with that. Not
okay.
The roads.
So that they, so that's another board.
Yeah. Well, yes,
another
Delta. You would take
okay.
The state highway.
And would that also be the case with drainage? The drainage issues. Okay.
Yes, sir. So just what. What's presented to us where that would be
all right
out of ours.
Well, I appreciate that you clarified that for me, because in that case, I'm in favor of the application.
Oh, sure, that's
okay.
What we're here for, sir, to try to do that with.
Okay.
Okay, so we've answered all your questions.
Time getting there, but
yes.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Okay, then he's not in opposition. He just needed clarification,
okay.
And I asked him again. He was happy. So again,
okay.
Chair will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we take case number, 11,443 under advisement.
Okay, that was second to that motion.
I'll second that.
Okay, I have a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. Rickard that we take case number 11,443 under advisement. And all those in favor of the motion, Mr. Wharton?
Aye.
Then Mr. Rickard?
Aye.
Mr. Hudson?
Aye.
And Mr. Mills?
Aye.
And I'm Mr. Calloway. So by vote of 5-0, case number 11,443 is taken under advisement. Now what that means, there may be a decision made here later on this evening. You can stay if you would like, or you may call the office in the morning after 9. Okay? Thank you, sir.
Case number.